gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bad news is I had a crappy Valentine's. The good news, we might all be hit by a meteor soon.
Well, no. The meteor's already down.
Damn. Is there another one?
No.
Well, sorry. Yeah. There is.
Russia has all the fun. What?
The big meteor is still out there. It's
okay.
It's going to miss us. But,
there's the silver lining.
No, that's an asteroid. That's not a meteor.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Whatever.
You bet your asteroid.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know what's happy about Friday?
What?
Yeah. Well, you know what's happy about Friday. The fact that you might be ready with a cue.
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, kids. Nice
Good
to join you on a slow
morning.
News week.
Yeah, I know, right?
Good morning, Ecclesiastical Mook.
Good morning, lover. How are you?
Oh, lover. Hello. Well, I was going to say, sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. Check it out, Stephen. Stephen the Mooks will be at Sexy Liberal in Chicago April 3rd, 3 years running. Hello. Can we meet again at that quiet little place where we had dinner last year before the show? We were in the same restaurant. I was with my wife, who you kissed when you left. By the way, she's still straight. All right, well, I got one more try. And you were with your group. See you April 13th, Chicago.
Woo!
Tickets flying out the window. John Fugelsang.
Nice.
Okay.
I can't wait. It's going to be a really fun show.
Yeah. So what? How are you, sir?
How am I? My God, State of the Union and the Pope quitting and a Carnival cruise line that smells like parts of downtown Manhattan, and it's a crazy week. I'm great, thank you. I'm here early today because I have to take off and fly to Michigan, where I'm performing at Michael Moore's Winter Comedy Arts Festival in Traverse City.
Awesome.
I have a movie premiering there, and then I'm doing a headline set, and then I'm doing the set list show with Paul Provenza. So it's going to be a really fun time.
Awesome. Whereabouts? How do we get
Traverse City? Traverse City, Michigan. And I'll have the website address by the end of my time with you today.
All right. Fabulous. Fabulous. I don't know if there's any Marco Rubio jokes left at this point.
Oh, I think there might just be a couple of Marco Rubio jokes left. it was great. I was doing live coverage with all the folks at Current on there, and so we timed it with David Schuster and Cenk that as soon as the speech ended, all of us, we had five windows up, we all had bottles of water to drink from when it was done. And it's really a shame because the liberals and the stinking liberal media have focused so much on Marco Rubio's dehydration that they really, really have, I think, given a short shrift to Marco Rubio's lies during the actual speech.
Yes,
it's really,
true.
Really tragic.
That's true. Well, somebody compared it to, I can't remember who what writer was talking about. He fell into the orchestra pit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what
how is it possible?
Concert is, he fell into the orchestra pit at the end, and there's nothing that you're going to remember.
How do you sweat that much when you're standing in complete darkness? I mean, I've seen snuff films with better lighting than that rebuttal. It looked like this is why you need union lighting guys, Marco. I know you hate the sound of that.
Exactly. So at any rate, but I love, and Boner basically came out and said what I was saying, Chris, about the State of the Union. The President, John, with all these great ideas, and they're clapping politely as if to say, ha, none of that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he said. He's like, yeah, not going
to
happen anyway.
It's really fun to watch just to see where they don't stand up. You know, that's what it's all about. Like where, and I try to tell my Republican friends, when you watch it, just watch for the things the Republicans don't applaud and stand up for, like helping middle-class workers, raising the minimum wage, Voting Rights Act, a 102-year-old woman who shows up to vote. And then, you know, but we might bomb North Korea. Let's stand up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Any questions, children?
Exactly. And now we have this. And have I used the word unprecedented before about this republic? Jim, are you here? Are you awake?
Can we talk about Harry Reid's gift to all of us?
Yes. Go ahead.
Because Harry Reid built this. Harry Reid owns what happened yesterday with this filibuster. This is all him. He had the chance. Not only did Harry Reid promise he would do something about it, he had the chance to do something about it just last month on the first day of the Senate session. He could have done it with a 51 vote to have filibuster reform, and instead he got this weak reform package, and we paid the price for his tiny, pathetic, weak package
I couldn't believe he used the word shocking here. Go ahead. Senator Harry Reid.
Oh, okay.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday on the Senate floor.
Shocking that my Republican colleagues would leave the nation without a fully empowered Secretary of Defense during all the things we have going on in the world, including a war.
And he's shocked, also shocked to find out there's gambling going on in Vegas in his home district.
Now Leon Panetta's got to stay there even longer. He's going to have to go to the NATO summit in Brussels. Poor Leon Panetta's like George Bailey. He's never getting out of Bedford Falls.
I got big plans, Murray. Big plans. Oh, no. Sure, I love her. She's a peach.
Because Republicans have to punish a Republican for the crime of being right about Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like who's writing this? Talking Points memo looks an awful lot like Friday's vote today. To break the GOP's Chuck Hagel filibuster will fall short, leaving his nomination, blah, blah, blah. Republicans have said, oh, there's that word, a dangerous new president.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing when people don't understand, John, that don't pay attention. This is in the history of ever. Like, you know how I tell my dog Max, you're the best dog in the history of dogs in the history of history. This is like that. It's in the history of the entire United States.
Last night on Viewpoint, I said that if Harry Reid's mad at the GOP for filibustering this, he needs to go straight on the Senate floor in front of the cameras and spend an entire day punching himself in the face. And we showed a clip of Edward Norton doing
yourself?
That in Fight Club.
Why are you touching yourself? Why are you touching yourself?
Promised this wouldn't happen, and now the chicken hawks come home to roost.
We'll be treated to a big show when Republicans block Hagel on the Senate floor tomorrow, then a quiet resolution a few days down the road when Graham gets his, when the Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham, gets his answers on Benghazi.
Oh, by the way, Lindsey Graham is also, he's promised to block the rest of Lady Gaga's tour until she gives answers on Benghazi.
Yeah, right.
I love the way Talking Points puts it. In other words, we may have reached unprecedented heights of senatorial preening about a cabinet nominee. Talking to you, Lindsey.
I mean, I think it'd be great if Obama...
Because he's going to be confirmed. Right. I mean, this is just... I still
have questions about the sinking of the Maine.
Yes. And also the Edmund Fitzgerald.
These guys don't care about Benghazi. They don't care one bit about all the embassy attacks that happened under President Bush. They don't care one bit about the fact that President Bush was told well in advance that we were going to be attacked on 9/11 and that he was Bin Laden determined to attack U.S. They don't care about any of that. It's just exploiting.
Right.
Yeah.
These dead people, you know, they exploited 9/11/01 to attack Iraq, and they exploit 9/11/12 to attack Barack, and that's all it's about.
Yep. Senator John McCain. Yes,
I wanted to know if he had learned from his mistakes. Unfortunately, I'm not confident that he has.
Oh, for God's
sake.
That's
the guy who picked Sarah Palin talking about learning from your mistakes.
Yes. And he lurches back and forth between trying to be like elder statesmen and nobody should be impugning Chuck Hagel's character or whatever. And then he's back with his Southern Belle best
crap
friend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's, yeah. Here
and if he had any integrity left, he would call out all those chicken hawks who never served for attacking the patriotism. Ted Cruz pulling this McCarthy-esque, are you now or have you ever been like Chuck Hagel, some Sharia law agent out of Iran? It's so disgusting. This guy's got a Purple Heart from Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know how much I hate defending Republicans, Stephanie?
I know. Listen, you're doing a good job. Nicely done, sir.
Nicely well played.
Done. Well played, sir.
Harry
John
Reid,
McCain.
You know,
go ahead. John McCain. Really.
I think that is a sufficient period of time to get answers to outstanding questions, and I think that Senator Hagel, after that period of time, deserves a cloture vote and a up or down vote on his nomination.
Yeah, so he was calling the White House's answers on Benghazi satisfactory now. He said he's ready to find a way to end the filibuster that's holding up the nomination. But now he's trying to get answers to questions posed by Senator Ted Cruz.
Right.
As you pointed out, that douche.
He's got a crazy conspiracy theory.
Regarding Hagel's sources of income,
right,
which he's just going to throw out there might be, I don't know, Iran, North Korea.
Are you now or have you ever been an agent of Iran, North Korea, Russia, or Mars?
Yeah.
I mean, John, we were talking last week. This is how ridiculous this has gotten. They want to investigate one employee in Hagel's office that reportedly sexually harassed another employee several years ago that Chuck Hagel had nothing to do with.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. And it's got...
in Benghazi, which he had nothing to do with.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and it's got nothing whatsoever to do with anything dealing with Benghazi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 14 years ago this week, Bill Clinton was acquitted by the U.S. Senate on his impeachment trial.
Mm-hmm.
13 House Republicans prosecuted him, but only one of those congressmen ever made it to the Senate after spending millions of taxpayer dollars in a failed partisan effort to humiliate and destroy a Democratic president. And who was that congressman's name? Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
Oh,
he got famous trying to humiliate Democratic presidents, and he's doing the same thing now.
BJ's giving him the vapors.
Hey, Lindsey Graham is my favorite Tennessee Williams protagonist.
And here he is doing his Katharine Hepburn impression.
This is showing a chip on one shoulder about Israel. An unhealthy statement, to say the least, and I think patently false, but unnerving to a guy like me.
All right, thanks,
you
Brick.
Got a great big chip.
Summer's Eve could sell Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Summer's Eve could sell Lindsey Graham.
He is totally like Brick in a Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
No, that's not the character I was thinking
no?
of.
No?
No, believe it or not, no, that's not the character I was thinking
of. Oh, Lord. Leah, the thing we're all wondering, what does James Inhofe think?
This isn't a filibuster today. People are trying to say that and blame me as being the bad guy that's causing a filibuster. It's not the case at all.
Huh?
And just you, just when you think he reached the last level of douchebaggery, when he remember when he busted out that giant chart on the Senate floor?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. His family tree? Showing how it,
no
was,
pink fruit.
Right. Well, he was saying there's nothing icky in their entire family tree like divorce or homosexuality.
Right, right.
In the whole Inhofe family tree in the history of everything ever.
Mm-hmm. Thank God they've got...
We have speculated if you shake that tree hard enough, some pink fruit...
Yeah. That just dares you to run to Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
And see what's there.
Or to try to go in there and break up one of their marriages.
Yeah.
You got a divorce, and you got the... I don't know.
Looky here. Your great uncle is Oscar Wilde.
Uncle Lance from Fire Island. Wait a minute. That was one of the Inhofes we weren't aware of.
Becky Inhofe.
Becky Inhofe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of Leon Panetta, who, as you were saying, he is the George Bailey of this whole story now.
They keep pulling me back in.
Mr. Porter, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man.
Or you're right, or Michael Corleone. Good, also
what
good
are you,
analogy.
But a warped, frustrated, middle-aged Republican? Ah.
Just when you try to get out, they pull you back in again. He lamented an increasingly bitter atmosphere in Washington, saying there's too much meanness on display. His comments come amid a mounting budget crisis in a deeply divided Congress after other Republican lawmakers renewed threats to block Chuck Hagel. So he has to, as John said, stay forever.
Right.
Okay. And no angels get their wings.
Nope.
No.
It's just so embarrassing. There's a NATO summit about what to do with Afghanistan. We know this guy's going to become defense secretary. It's just like these guys can never, ever claim to care about the military again after this.
Well, you know, I say it till I'm blue in the face about this. This is just not how they did business in my dad and Goldwater's era, but it's really true. And this is exactly what he was saying. He said his only disappointment in his job has been how Congress sometimes fails to play a constructive role. He said, I always felt that, you know, the leadership in Congress, the leadership of whatever administration was involved, when it came to the big issues facing this country, there was a willingness to work together to resolve those issues. There will always be party differences, but there are also some lines that are there that make the process work, lines that involve mutual respect, lines that involve, you know, courtesy and a degree of respect mm-hmm. for one another, despite whatever their decisions are.
Mm-hmm.
But he said traditions of courtesy and civility are breaking down. It becomes too personal. It becomes too mean. And, you know, and I think you're right. John McCain, it's like he's caught in the middle. He just lurches back and forth between his some innate sense of decency in there, you know, and then back to helping his buddy cater to this to his crazy Tea Party base, right?
For more, let's go to Ted Nugent.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, Fridays, with sexy liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau of Sexy Liberal Incorporated. Okay. Let's go to Andy in Massachusetts. You're on with John. Hi, Andy.
Hey, I have a big concern about this whole gun control thing that's going on, is that stuff will pass, but the Republicans are going to do exactly what they've done with Wall Street reform and Consumer Protection Bureau and even the ATF, and that is block appointments necessary to run the programs and totally underfund them then. And I, say, okay, you can have all this, but you can't have any people to run it, and you can't have any money to do anything with it.
And, you know, Andy, that's happened in the past with the NRA. That's what they do. They choke off, you know, they try to do anything they can to weaken or cut off funding for anything that's meaningful on gun control. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Fortunately, that won't happen here because Harry Reid will make sure the assault weapons ban dies in the Senate.
All right, you are on your Harry Reid.
Well,
Harry Reid is going to let the assault weapons ban die in the Senate.
Yeah, that was, I have to say, the thing that irritated me the most. What show was he on, John, when he was talking about the last time the assault? He goes, well, I didn't vote for it last time because it mm-hmm. didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. What do you mean?
It didn't make any sense.
What do you mean it didn't make any sense?
It didn't make any sense because he's in an NRA powerful state and he almost got beaten by a head injury patient with a tinfoil hat in his last election.
Ha ha ha.
Oh,
the Stephanie Miller Show has no information that Sharon Angle actually has a head injury.
I think we could have let Sharon Angle serve one term for the comedy at this point because Harry Reid's doing her job.
You know, I saw a piece in the New York Times. John, there's so many parts of this gun debate, and this is one of them that's been raised, but I just thought it's a really interesting one. New York Times, to reduce suicide rates, new focus turns to guns. And this is just one part of it, but you know, somebody said, what's making it so popular to commit suicide these days? Because it's way up, guns, availability of guns. Pill attempts kill 2%. Gun attempts kill 98%. And I know all the arguments we're going to hear, right? Oh, you'd find another way, you do it. You know, but again, statistics are statistics.
Much more efficient way to do it.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. I believe if you have a gun in the house, the possibility of killing yourself by suicide goes up more than 40%. I'm looking it up right now.
But yeah. Well, this is, I was going to read some of the from the New York Times piece. Nearly 20,000 of the 30,000 deaths from guns in the United States in 2010 were suicides. The national suicide rate has climbed 12% since 2003. Suicide, the third leading cause of death for teenagers. Guns, of course, particularly lethal. Suicidal acts with guns are fatal in 85% of the cases. Pills, as I was saying, fatal in just 2% of the cases. The national map of suicide lights up in states with the highest gun ownership rates. Wyoming, Montana, and Alaska, the states with the three highest suicide rates, also the top gun-owning states. The literature suggests that having a gun in your home to protect your family is like bringing a time bomb into your house. Instead of protecting you, it's more likely to blow up, according to a guy who helped establish the CDC Center for Injury Prevention and Control. Suicidal acts often prompted by a temporary surge of rage or despair. Most people who attempt them do not die. The chances of dying rise dramatically when a gun is present because, guns obviously so much more likely to be lethal. If you use a gun, you usually don't get a second chance, according to director of the Harvard Center. One common argument, obviously the suicidal person would have found some other way to kill himself. Yes, you may find another method, said the doctor, but will it kill them? I mean, and it's just one part of the debate, John.
You might try to open a vein and get the wrong one that doesn't cause you to bleed to death.
It's true. 46 Americans kill themselves with guns every day.
Well, you look at you. You just found that just like that. Pulled that right out. I mean, it's just one part of this conversation, but it's pretty significant, I think, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, look at the stats. The risk of someone in your family dying from a gunshot if you have a gun in the house goes up by, it's a huge rate. Let me just see here. Suicides, go ahead.
Right, what Bob Costas had the audacity to suggest, the domestic disputes, you know, when there's arguments, when there's alcohol involved, all of this stuff, like, that, you know, might end differently, don't when there's guns around.
Exactly. It's this law of averages. And again, no one's trying to take anyone's guns away. No one has ever suggested taking anyone's guns away.
Which is proof that they're trying to do it. The absence of evidence is proof of, you know, whatever.
And this is why Wayne LaPierre, I mean, he went out last night and he did that piece for the Daily Caller and gave the speech where he talked about how it was hell on earth in New York City after Sandy and how Brooklyn was overrun with wilding gangs of looters and there was gun violence everywhere. There were no murders.
Right.
No murders in New York after Sandy, and only 7 people are being prosecuted for any thefts in all of Brooklyn because of looting.
Millions of people.
It is just naked fear-mongering to buy guns at this point, John. That's all it is. I mean, every problem he cited, buy a gun. The only way to solve that, buy a gun. Well, you got to go buy a gun. You got to go buy more guns. I mean, it's...
You don't have enough guns.
Yeah.
Wayne LaPierre is so crazy, his meds are off him. Wayne LaPierre is so crazy, Jenny McCarthy now wants to inoculate her kids.
Okay. Don't get those
Wayne LaPierre
people.
Is so crazy, if you look up crazy in the dictionary, he'll shoot you.
All right.
I think Wayne LaPierre is too dumb to be crazy. You have to have some level of intellect to be really
But you know, I had this debate with Governor Spitzer last night. Elliot Spitzer came on Viewpoint, which was historic, because you know
right?
Conan's not going on Jay.
No.
And Elliot came on last night, and we talked about the fact that this guy's job is selling fear, and he's very good at it. His job is not to represent the NRA members, only the gun owners, so more guns get sold. He's very effective.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
When I laugh, I pee a little.
Squish. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1.
That's from an actual commercial.
Great song, Chris.
Thank you.
Sexy Little John Fugelsang in the New York Mural. So they have identified Christopher Dorner's remains from the cabin in Big Bear.
Yep.
Otherwise, we would have been in a full-on fugitive, one-armed man, all that stuff. But no, it is him. And it guess what, John? We were saying in terms of the gun debate, that was apparently a good guy with a gun until he became a bad guy with a gun, right?
Shocking. That can happen. That can happen.
If only he had more guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's sort of like First Blood, except it was a black guy, so you knew they were going to take him out right away.
Let's go to
It was really a sad story. I want to point out that Current was the only channel that didn't have a lower screen corner of a smoking cabin during the State of the Union address.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yes, thank you. And we appreciate that. Dana in Maryland, you're on with John. Hey, Dana.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good. Sad day. My dad died today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a bummer day.
Dana, wow. I'm so sorry.
And I knew you guys could cheer me up, and he would have absolutely just adored your show.
Were you with
John. The cabin thing. I'm like, seriously, we're missing like the red carpet at the State of the Union for watching a burning cabin.
Yeah.
Like, totally annoying.
It wasn't much of a red carpet. You had Ted Nugent and,
But you know what I mean. I'm like, how long are we going to stare at a burning cabin?
Yeah.
You know, wondering if he's in there. It's kind of silly. And I'm with you, John, on Harry Reid. I actually think he needs to go.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to see him get primed. He has to get primed.
Well, Dana,
how can you be shocked with a Democrat.
How can you be shocked at this point by the Republicans?
You know, he promised. He, like, triple swore. I don't know. Blood promise. You know,
promise he would do this.
Pinky handshake, whatever. It just seems I really thought he might do it. You know, you want to keep your hopes positive.
Yeah.
Not only did he promise, he said how wrong he was not to have listened to Udall and Merkley last year when they said to do it. And then he said he would do it on the first day.
Exactly. And then the thing with, you know, Chuck Hagel, how do we even know what he wants to do for the job? Because they're just lambasting him, raking him over the coals and smearing him. We have no idea if he's our guy. Do we really want him?
We know what he doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to bomb Iran. And that's one of the reasons why they hate him so much.
Yeah, exactly. By the way.
And because he made a comment about the Jew lobby. I mean, I'm Jewish. Right. I'm over it. Let's move on with our day.
He said Jewish lobby.
Jewish lobby,
Should have said AIPAC.
Okay, flip of the tongue, gap. Yeah. Everybody does it, right? And my son asked me yesterday why Wayne LaPierre hates Jews. And it was a hard question to answer, but did you see his rant, his latest rant?
Yeah, he doesn't hate. Listen, tell your son he hates Americans in general.
Yeah, he hates everyone.
Right, I mean, you know, the marauders, the Mexicans raping people during the...
What a racist. Everyone's got to read this to see how racist this guy is.
Wow. Yeah,
I know. And I was there during the LA riots. Nobody was raped.
Yeah.
And he's just completely out of his gourd. So,
Dana,
okay,
so,
I love you guys.
So sorry about your dad, honey.
I love you. Thank you. My husband took the day off. He's going to take me shopping. He's a mensch. So, love you guys.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Okay?
Sorry for the mishigas. Happy about the mensch. Oh, boy. By the way, as we always say, follow the money, right? This is Journal Star column. Dark money groups have ulterior motives for opposing Hagel. Dark money groups, fresh off an unprecedented binge of election spending, are now aggressively working to defeat President Obama's nomination of Chuck Hagel. Some of those trying to bulldoze Senator Hagel's nomination are working overtime to conceal their motives. For instance, efforts to stoke liberal opposition, Republicans who supported Mitt Romney, despite his hardline positions against gay rights, may well be funding the log cabin Republicans to run ads criticizing Senator Hagel for anti-gay statements he expressed more than a decade earlier.
I think Obama should withdraw the nomination and then get it back at the Republicans, either nominate Noam Chomsky or Claire Danes from Homeland.
There you go. Good ideas both.
How about Saul Alinsky? Why are they giving money to the log cabin Republicans? Does anybody pay attention to the log cabin Republicans?
No. But you know who else is behind it?
Comedians.
Yeah.
You know who else is behind it? Sheldon.
Adelson.
Sheldon.
Mitt Romney redistributed my wealth.
He is contacting Republican senators directly, urging them to oppose Senator Hagel's confirmation. He obviously spent more than $100 million. Safe bet senators will be taking his call, and he opposes him. Why? Because he doesn't want to blow Iran up on behalf of Israel.
Also, he was right about Iraq.
And never mind that Chuck Hagel, you know, voted for sending over $80 million in aid to Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
That.
You know, as those anti-Semites will do.
Wait, look who he's here. It's the John and Pam show from Ohio. We haven't heard from John and Pam, and guess where they're going? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From Ohio, it's the John and Pam show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam show.
Good morning, the John and Pam
Ohio's
Show.
Ohio's not a terribly long drive from Chicago.
Hi, baby dolls. We're back. We've been gone.
Hi, kids.
Hey, Rubio's just living proof that the GOP just can't get away from waterboarding.
Yeah. What you did there, you wrote a skit. Now, kids, are you coming up to Chicago Sexy Liberal?
Yes, we are.
What?
Steph, now,
I
took the phone away from John. We've been gone, and don't you know? Well, he got his hand caught in a log splitter.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
Are you okay?
Is he okay?
I hate when that happens.
I do, honey. I do too.
Well, at least he didn't get his log caught in the hand splitter.
Right. That would have been worse.
That would have hurt. Yeah. That would have hurt me. then this big old heifer would have been in a trouble. Anyway. But nope, we're coming. We're going to be there. We're going to drive. We're not going to fly because I ain't going to get my fat old heifer butt on no plane. I'm but we're coming. And you know what? We're going to see five of the sexiest people we've ever seen in our lifetime.
Aw. By the way, I have met you. You are not a heifer. You are beautischmal.
Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment coming from you, honey. Telling you what, I kept telling you, and it's like you said the very first time, you would be our first three-way.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Nice. Thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
And I gotta say that we have missed you guys, but we're back home now, and hopefully this husband of mine will keep his hands where they belong.
Which is on you.
That's right.
Right. All right. We'll see you in Chicago. Love you.
We love you guys.
Love you too, John and Pam.
How cute are they? Huh. All right, Mickey. Ouch. That's ow. Mickey in South Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mickey. You're on with John.
Howdy, everybody.
Hi.
Say, I've got a couple comments about the wage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if John Bonehead can get $224,500 a year, and he's complaining about $9, why doesn't the American people have the right to vote whether they get an increase or not?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, why do they get to say, okay, we need a pay increase, and then they get it?
Yep.
They voted for themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Because John Boehner gets to, because if that happened, John Boehner wouldn't have a chance to lie about it and lie about how a wage increase to $9 for minimum is going to hurt the economy when it won't. It puts more money in everybody's pockets and it gives people more money to spend at your business.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Ben in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hi. Good. I got two things I want to mention if I could. The first is I wanted to talk about Harry Reid. I agree. I feel like he did in fact drop the ball, particularly on the first. And then watching the disaster that obviously it was going to be yesterday. Don't you think in some way though that perhaps the silver lining is, don't you think that they're going to have to pass filibuster reform at this point after what we just saw happen?
Well, I've never seen a better case for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Senator Merkley on to talk about it,
right.
And you know, obviously, John, you're right. What he said is exactly what happened, and how Harry Reid couldn't see that coming.
Harry Reid came out and said that I was wrong not to do filibuster reform. I was wrong to trust a handshake deal with Mitch McConnell. Merkley and Udall were right, and I promise on the first day of the Senate, we're going to use the simple majority on that one day to do it. The first day came, and what did he do? He called a recess so the first day would last a bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know, like when one day feels like several days, like if you saw The Hobbit. And then what did he do instead? He did nothing. He let it die. And so he's already promised he would learn from his mistakes, and he didn't.
Chris and
Sorry,
Chicago.
I'm done. He's dead to me. Dead to me.
Uh-oh.
Hi,
when you get on John Fugelsang's dead to you list,
dead
trust
me.
Okay.
Hi, morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My little question was about Chuck Hagel, who was somebody I respected in the old days because of his stance. I wanted to know if Ted Cruz should maybe not be so vociferous against him, because even though the Congress does control the money that goes to defense, does the Department of Defense have any control over where bases go? Because isn't Texas like the most, doesn't he have the most bases mm-hmm. of all the places in the United States?
I believe so,
if it was me, vengeful, I would get a couple of them out of there. Just because of Ted Cruz. And I'd say, and it was thanks to Ted Cruz's idea about, you know, me in Iran or whatever he was blathering about.
See, that would be assuming he's as petty and small as Ted Cruz. I don't think anyone can actually announce that. And that's for that. There. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should just play that. Maria, nanny,
funny.
Nanny, boo-boo. Okay, Maria in Chicago. Hello, Maria.
Good morning, Mama.
Hello. Are you the official dog walking bartender at the Stephanie Miller Show?
No, I'm the official not-so-subtle stalker of the
show. Oh.
Different, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Didn't you see like 19 sexy liberal shows?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. No, this one in Chicago will be my sixth.
Yay! Stephead!
Yay! And I'm calling to give you fair warning that I am going to be wearing my grabby paws that night, Mama.
Oh,
so
well, hello now. And as I recall, you're smoking hot.
Oh, my heavenly stars. I'm blushing.
That's your Lindsey Graham impression. It was very good. Nicely done.
Thank you, darling.
Clutch the pearls!
They are being clutched. I wanted to tell you that my drinking game for the State of the Union,
we were
very proud of this one. We decided to come up with thought bubbles for John Boehner as he was sitting there wallowing in his discomfort. And my favorite one was one of my friends came up with him saying to himself, just hang in there, John. This will all be over soon and you can get your scotch and water.
Yeah, I think he was drinking bourbon and coke.
I'm sure he was. Every time they cut away, he'd reach down for like a giant water bottle. Definitely not the Poland Spring size.
No. my drinking game was every time John Boehner looked miserable to take a drink. So I lasted about 20 minutes.
And Marco Rubio, as we said, was his own drinking game. So
yeah, well, I should have made it when the president said comprehensive.
Okay. Which yes.
He said that
yes,
a lot.
Exactly. All right. There you go.
45. I was like on the phone during it. It's like, what, Mom? What, the one who's darker than Obama? Yeah, that's John Boehner.
Yeah, I noticed that.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The station where the handbasket to hell leaves from. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No! Jeff in Massachusetts sent us a bucket of sloths.
Yes.
Otherwise known as the Republican Congress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're little baby sloths and they're in a bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no sloths. Don't crawl all over each other.
Okay. We're particularly susceptible to cute animal videos on Fridays, John. We apologize. We're tired. All right. And also, this for you. From Julie, sheesh. Tell John, Senator Durbin, Democrats lack votes to pass talking filibuster reform. Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin, a leading liberal, said Wednesday Democrats do not have enough votes to implement the talking filibuster reform. Reid does not have the 51 votes to make the rules change that liberals say is most important, requiring senators who want a filibuster, blah, 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 blah.
Well, he did. I'm sorry, but he did on the first day. You normally need the 67, but on the first day of the session, you only need 51 votes. He could have done it.
You're talking about them. Yeah. Well,
I would have loved to. I'd love to see Dick Durbin be the majority leader, by the way.
Oh, there's a Jim Dandy idea.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And he's one of the only senators I've given a reach around to.
All right. You have.
It was a photo op.
Right. But still.
Okay.
You play a little grab ass with him.
A little bit. Jeff in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff. You're on with John.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I give you a second? Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I just want to make a quick comment about the Hagel nomination.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah, I know our president kind of looks like he's a sort of beleaguered guy. He's trying to get his man in there and having a difficult time. But I'm wondering if he's really not a Machiavellian genius. There's an old saying that goes, the secret to victory is not choosing a path to success, but choosing so that all paths lead to success.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if he was thinking that, you know, here's this moderate Republican guy. If I pick him and I get him, I look like a strong president and a compromiser and somebody who's reaching across the aisle. And if I don't get him, I get to see the Republicans eat their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it does make a particularly strong case, Jeff, that it's a Republican. He's that they're giving him this kind of an unprecedentedly hard time over a Republican accusing him of not reaching across the aisle or being bipartisan or leading or whatever. Right, John?
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, I appreciate the point, but I don't think the Republicans need President Obama's help. They have their eyes on the prize, and the prize is a 0% approval rating. And they're getting there.
They're getting there. Nicely done.
With a bullet, you might say.
Exactly. The president talking about his State of the Union.
On Tuesday, I delivered my State of the Union address, and I laid out a plan for reigniting what I believe is the true engine of America's economic growth, and that is a thriving, growing, rising middle class.
And John Boehner said...
Computer says no.
No. No. The headline, Boehner, no House action.
Yeah.
On the State of the Union agenda. Yes. Boner says none of that's going to happen. In prepared remarks yesterday, Boner's effectively foreclosed on the idea that the House will take up any of Obama's proposals.
Huh.
Unless and until, this is his new strategy, Senate first. Unless until the Senate passes legislation first, and maybe not even then.
So he passes the buck, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. The president likes to attack Congress, but he's serious about enacting his agenda.
He's not serious.
It must start in the part of the Congress controlled by his own political party. What can he get passed in the United States Senate? That's clever. Okay, here he is.
Notably, I think it lacked any new ideas to give hope to the millions of Americans still asking the question, where are the jobs?
Where are the jobs?
Oh, God.
He got tangled up, John, in a ladder analogy yesterday. I don't know if you
I know why. We talked all about he doesn't get his rungs straight. This is the guy who keeps saying government can't create jobs. And by the way, President Obama, where are the jobs?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the president's not offering a ladder. We're offering a ladder. Because if you take the lower rung away...
What it is, escalators are the elevator to get to the ladder.
Let's remind people that this guy, that President Obama, in late 2011 put forth a jobs bill that was 60% tax cuts, and they still killed it.
Right. Yep.
So they don't believe in anything they say.
Yep. Barbara in D.C., you're on with John. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, Mooks. Hi, hello. John.
Good morning.
I'm switching subjects a little bit. I'm getting torqued about the sequester.
Yes.
It just amazes me that the Republicans want to take the economy back into recession. So, you know, if we go into the sequester, here's my suggestion. We start with the Republican Congress. We lay off or furlough 20% of Congress immediately. We will save money, and we will be able to get the bills passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would start with Inhofe. I would start with McCain, Graham, you know, Yertle the Turtle. I'd throw in Cruz in there from Texas, Paul Ryan. We could get a lot of stuff done.
Well, I mean, it is amazing, John, how we were saying that they try to, it's clear they both voted for it. I mean, both sides, this is Paul Ryan's bill, the sequester. Now they're trying to go, look what the president did. Now look what you did.
Yeah, they're blaming it all on President Obama. And it's another snooze alarm. It's like, how many times can we have the fiscal cliff per month?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to keep on going. But I really think this time the Republicans are going to let it go into effect. They're going to let these cuts happen.
Oy. Oy. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Obama, you know, this thing about this is unprecedented, you know, with the Hagel and the Benghazi stuff.
Uh-huh.
No, it's totally precedented. I've seen this act before. It was called Whitewater. Mm-hmm. 7 years and $77 million into the great BJ hunt.
Yep.
Remember, what Whitewater was it was a money-losing land deal for the Clintons. And then it got a life of its own, and it kept going and going. Now, Lindsey Graham yaps about, I haven't had my questions answered. No, he's had his questions answered.
Yeah. Buddy, you know, you bring up the crux of, like, the Republican, when you think about that, think about how stunning that is. All of that taxpayer money they used to, it's like, they lost money. Like, wouldn't you think the deal is fishy if they made too much?
Time,
yeah.
At the same time, they jump up and down and say, we're concerned about the debt. But Lindsey Graham got his questions answered. He just didn't like the answers he got.
Exactly.
That SOB wants, the only answer he wants is something that embarrasses the administration. This
exactly.
is about hamstringing a legally elected Democratic president. Seen it before with Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, that's what they're saying. They're trying to just, you know, string this out, John, until, like, hopefully something else, there's some shoe drops.
They don't want answers. Yeah. They want to exploit the tragedy of Benghazi as hard as they possibly can for political gain only, and they are disgracing the memories of the Americans who were lost there. There were 28 protests at American embassies that day on 9/11, most of them over this video. It's possible they just had bad intel, but bad intel's only allowed when it involves invading a country that never attacked us and 3,000 American soldiers get killed. Then bad intel's just fine.
Yeah.
So that's Lindsey Graham, my favorite Tennessee Williams heroine. And, you know, I think it's great that he and John McCain have formed the new super couple, Jinzy McHam. Because all super couples need a cute name.
He's Maggie the Cat.
Yeah, well, on a good day.
All right.
Hey, Steph, I wanted to say the website for the festival, the Traverse City Comedy Arts Festival, is traversecityfilmfest.org, and I'll be there tomorrow for the movie Coexist, which I'm in, and I'm also performing with Alan Havey tomorrow evening, and then I'm doing this Paul Provenza's Setlist show late night tomorrow night. So
Sweet.
If you're in the Midwest, you better come to Michael Moore and Jeff Garland's Traverse City Winter Comedy Arts Festival.
Ooh, Jeff Garland.
Do it. I ran into him, our last sexy liberal, John, I ran into Jeff Garland in the airport, and we had a lovely chat. we started in the comedy business in Chicago.
Lovely guy.
Many years ago. Speaking of Chicago, Chicago Sexy Liberal, April 13th. Tickets going very fast. Get them now. John Fugel saying, I love you.
I have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
You too.
All right, stay tuned. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us, all their executive producer, Chris the Boy, voice, deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lisa writes with a, we're helpers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph, longtime listener, I was a little upset by Road Flare Mary's phone call on Valentine's Day yesterday. She seemed upset and cranky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's when the idea hit me. It's time for an official Stephanie Miller Happy Clappy Outreach. In the spirit of love, optimism, and liberalism, I volunteer to spend some one-on-one time with Road Flare Mary. I think if anyone can help save Mary from being cranky and ill-informed, it's you. I will treat Mary to breakfast or lunch at the restaurant of her choice. If she prefers something more casual, we can visit one of Chicago's fine street-side sausage emporiums. If that's too much, we can go for a cup of coffee or even throw back some booze if she's of a mind to. Like most of your listeners, I'm drunk almost every day.
Aww.
Please pass along my info to Mary in the spirit of togetherness. Sincerely, Lisa in Chicago. Why, maybe
you
she
know
could...
what?
Maybe she could take Mary to see, you know.
Hey, Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
Yes. With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from mama.
Oh, pardon me. I was too busy doing product placement with the album, which you can get at sexyliberal.com.
You certainly can.
Yes.
And check you can out get it on iTunes.
Right. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. Okay. Damien in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Jim says, hey, Senator Reed, rumor has it ursine mammals tend to void their bowels in sylvan environments. I know. Shocking. That's from a Jim Ward bit.
Yes, from many years ago.
Because he was shocked by Republican intransigence in the Senate. Why?
Or intransigence.
Right, intransigence.
Oh, no, don't. Syllables don't matter. Syllables.
Right. Terry says, hey, Steph, okay, Obama rocks, so talking about the State of the Union. More importantly, as a card-carrying lesbian, I'm always somewhat disturbed by how much in love with Joe Biden I am. But I've been watching him the entire time. He kills me. I understand. I was just charmed by him in person at the inauguration. He's charming.
The
man is charming. It's crazy.
He's a big effing deal.
He is a big deal. Okay.
There's a great picture of him in the West Wing. We got a tour of the White House.
Yeah.
You know, I was very well spoken, as I normally am, when I'm confronted with someone very big in person.
Uh-huh.
Because I just said, oh, Mr. Vice President, I got to testify, you know, with Ed Schultz in front of you with when you were a senator about talk radio and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, that's right, never forget a beautiful woman. And I was like, thank you, sir. That was it. That was the whole conversation. I literally said Ermagerd or Herpterp or some version of that.
Yeah.
Ermagerd, Mr. Verspurs.
Verspurser.
Reapers. Ermagerd. Okay, and a little backup from Dawn.
Oh?
Mama, next time Chris begins teasing you about your dusty eggs, insisting that you will never know the joy of sending your underage child to buy box wine, just send him this story. There's still hope. 7-year-old woman gives birth. So there.
Whoa.
She's trying for 50 years to her husband.
Wow.
She had eggs?
That's a long gestation period.
Right?
Huh.
Man, I could crank those suckers up.
No.
All right, let's...
You are never going to have juicy eggs ever again.
You don't know. Let's dive into the right-wing world. All right. Bill O'Reilly.
As you may know, the Obama campaign was successful in demonizing Mitt Romney.
Aww.
They defined him as out of touch, a rich guy who doesn't care about the folks.
That's because he was a rich guy.
The governor was not able to counter that propaganda campaign.
It wasn't a propaganda.
So the left has learned a very important lesson. Marginalize your opponent early and often.
Oh, my God.
Enter Marco Rubio, who committed the grave sin of taking a drink of water during his speech on Tuesday night.
Right.
That gave the propaganda people on the left a big-time opening. So you can see what's in play. Let's diminish Marco Rubio. Let's make him a buffoon so he will not be able to challenge liberal orthodoxy.
It's politics. Get used to
it. He made himself a buffoon. Jeez. He fell into the orchestra pit, for God's sakes. That is hilarious. The most damning thing during the campaign was Mitt Romney caught on tape being Mitt Romney.
Exactly.
They didn't have to create propaganda. Gee, that was crazy, Jim. Where did the folks get the idea that he's a rich, out-of-touch guy? Doesn't care about the folks.
Doesn't care about the folks.
Doesn't care about the folks.
Cares about people like Bill O'Reilly.
Sure.
Right.
They're his kind of folks.
Yeah.
And Andrea Tantaros.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's like a PTSD because I've debated her a couple times on TV.
And she's a little screechy.
Yeah.
Well, Senator Marco Rubio delivered a powerful rebuttal to President Obama's State of the Union this week. But you wouldn't know it from the mainstream media.
No.
They were fixated on the fact that he needed a drink of water. And that NBC's cable news operation played it over 150 times. And CNN thinks that it could actually hurt his career. So is this just a big distraction because Rubio is a rising star, so let's just focus on the gulp of water heard around the world?
Okay, yeah, you depend on Rubio for the future of your party, Andrea.
Good move.
Go
for it.
You're a savior.
Yes.
By the way, savior's supposed to walk on water, not...
not drinking drowning by an entire bottle, little tiny little bottle.
You know what? It's such a big thing. When it makes it to late night shows, it's not a partisan thing. It was just a spectacularly awkward human moment that you can't tell me Republicans didn't watch and just go,
Oh, God.
Really? It's like watching your kids screw up in a play. You're like, oh
sweet Jesus.
Oh, no. And just when they think they're just inching back a little, they're like, the Time Magazine, and we're rehabilitating the Republican.
Great.
Sweet Jesus.
But that wasn't even the worst thing about it. He was railing against entitlements while at the same time praising Medicare.
Entitlements,
So, idiot.
Yes, except for my family.
Yes.
Which they've worked spectacularly well. Okay. Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends.
Is there anybody else in the Democratic Party except the president? You don't see anybody stand up. There's nobody. There's no John McCain on the left coming out and saying, well, this is where I agree with the president. This is where I don't agree with the president. There's only one guy.
They've got him on a leash. They've got everybody on a leash.
Guess so.
Where? I don't even I don't even understand that.
But why are the Democrats criticizing their own guy?
Yeah.
They need to destroy
Why aren't they in as much disarray as we are?
Because we can't do it, so they should be doing it for us.
That's what they're asking.
Because they agree with most of the American people who agree with the president on many of these issues.
We don't need to disagree with the president.
Okay. All right. Rush Limbaugh.
Here we are into the fifth year, and Obama's not president. He's a revolutionary. He's a crusader.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
He's fighting powerful forces that don't care about global warming, that don't want illegals to become citizens. They don't want people to be treated humanely. They're not worried about global warming. They're not concerned at all about gun violence.
What was the point of that exactly?
I don't know. He just
Obama's not president. He's a revolutionary like Che Guevara.
That's all I caught. It was a talking point, like record skipping.
So why is Dick Cheney approving of his use of drones?
Yeah.
If he's a hard left revolutionary.
That really was like a, it was a talking point record that was like on a 45 that was skipping. Maybe he's not live. Maybe that's what they're trying to cover up. Right? Maybe it's just the same talking points and somebody.
He's Max Headroom.
Yeah, he hasn't been live since that whole unpleasant drug thing.
Oh, there we go.
He might be Max Headroom. Somebody's in trouble over this running the thing up at Premiere. Just something's skipping. They're like, wait a minute.
It's
like in Speed when he discovers that it's a recording, it's not live, the picture of the bus, right?
You really don't have a reference of a movie past 1993.
No, I do not. No, I haven't been out since then.
Oh,
why?
Boy.
Is that bad?
Remember that time in Birth of a Nation when
when Lillian Gish?
Remember in the first talkie? Okay. Brian Fisher, American Family Radio.
Somebody had set out to decimate our military. They wanted to destroy it. They wanted to weaken it. They wanted to incapacitate our military. This is exactly how you would do it. President Obama is following a destroy the military schema to the T. President Obama does not like our military. He detests the military. The feeling is actually mutual.
No, it's not.
And women in combat, involuntarily placed in combat, that's going to be another nail in the coffin.
Okay, so chicks in combat is destroying America.
Right.
See, a lot of just like women want to go into combat. That's the
Israel.
Point.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't get sent there involuntarily.
No, it's a volunteer army.
Yes.
You doofus.
Jim has decided the only way emotionally to deal with right-wing world is to just sink to levels of immaturity.
Destroying the military.
It's like when you do that to friends when they try to tell a joke, and you go... okay.
Oh, my God.
Glenn Beck on the Blaze.
Questions now have been raised about Obama's CIA nominee by an ex-FBI agent who claims that the nominee for the CIA, John Brennan, is an Islamic convert with decades-old connections to the most anti-American variant of the religion.
Right.
I will tell you, I don't know if this is true or not. I will tell you that there is so much in John Brennan's background that should be questioned, that this is plausible.
Sharia law.
If somebody makes a charge like that, shouldn't we at least explore it before we put him as the chief of all intelligence?
Explore it before mouthing off about it.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. How about if you run along and finish that water slide at the crazy town you're building in the middle of? Make sure that's operating correctly.
Glenn Becky stand stand.
Right, and Glenn Becky stand stand.
He doesn't care if it's operating properly. There are no rules in Glenn Becky stand stand.
No regulations.
No regulations. Come
but
on.
I have the softest apples in town.
17 minutes after the hour. That concludes another riotous right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't get enough Juul lately.
Mm-mm. Do not. 22 minutes, particularly in talk radio.
Yeah.
22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Rocky Mountain Mike says the meteor blast injures 500 in Russia, and Obama just sat there and didn't do anything about it. That will be What the Fox tonight. Why won't the president lead, Jim?
Why won't the president lead in blusting up asteroids?
Why didn't he fly up into space and change
Aerosmith
the
song.
Axis of the... Okay. That's a Superman thing. All right. 1-800, I don't know. One of my insomnia bouts, I was watching an old Superman movie. And he flies up and he makes this world spin the other way. Something.
That was the original Superman
movie.
And
then he blows an oil slick back into the boat and fixes it. And then he welds it with his eyes. Why didn't Obama do that?
Right.
Okay.
Actually, the footage of that meteor is just amazing.
I know.
Yeah. Holy
I know.
Cow, it looks like a movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's going to miss the Earth. It's going to miss
the asteroids. No, the asteroids are
going to miss the Earth.
But not the meteor.
I'm just saying that because of how badly my life is.
Oh.
If you're relieved, bless your heart. Okay.
If you're relieved, good on you.
Marnie in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marnie.
Oh, hi. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I got through. I love you guys. Saw you in Seattle.
Okay.
I'm watching with the dog, Elvis, who loves you as well.
Thank you.
I'm calling about gun control, which I know you're not talking about today, but
I'm a
psychologist. And the last shooting was really, really hit home for all the school psychologists that I work with because one of our own was lost in that. And, the idea of putting guns in the school to make schools safer is absolutely beyond my comprehension. And I think I would have to change careers if that was something that actually happened.
Yeah. I would think most teachers would. You know, that's not what they're trained to do. It's not what they want to do. And like we were saying, you'd have to be Rambo. It would have to be on you at all times, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'd have to be packing at all times because I roam around the schools a lot. I'm always getting kids out of classrooms to do testing and and whatnot, which is also a part of, you know, we don't have proper funding. And so school psychologists spend way too much time testing and in meetings talking about testing when we are truly mental health providers, but we haven't the time necessarily to provide the mental health services that we're trained to do.
Yep. As the only psychologist I happen to have on the phone right now, Marnie, what I want to get your reaction to. Nancy Pelosi said John Boehner is projecting his own failures when he claims the president won't cut spending because he's too weak to stand up to the liberal wing of his party.
Exactly. It's projection.
Classic projection, right, Marnie?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I concur. I can see that.
Okay. All right. And I'm guessing penis envy. I'm just guessing. All right. Nancy Pelosi said, I mean, it was almost as if he was projecting onto the president his lack of being able to pass any bill that created jobs since he became speaker. Chris Cuomo said, you think the speaker's projecting onto the president his own failure? Exactly.
Nice.
Pelosi said, because he hasn't been able to deal with his own party. He has a wildly uncontrollable caucus. It's just peeing on the walls. Crazy. Yeah. There isn't anything that he passed that we haven't delivered the votes for that has been job creating. And I think she's absolutely right. Senator Barbara Mikulski on the sequester.
What it does is have a balanced approach to both revenues and also to cuts.
Actually, that was about the sequester proposal that the Democrats put forth yesterday. Yes.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And Senator Mitch McLiplis.
This is not a solution. Even they know it can't pass. That's the idea. It's a political stunt designed to mask the fact they've offered no solutions.
Political stunt that you voted for.
Right.
That was partially your idea.
So, what's your point?
Yes, that Paul Ryan sponsored.
So?
I brought a bag of lettuce. I'm really tempted for the TV audience to let Jim actually do the whole impression and the boner.
The sequester is there because the president insisted that it be there.
Uh-huh.
Where's the president's plan to replace the sequester that he insisted upon?
This is the plan.
Hashtag Obama sequester.
Obama sequester.
Catchy. Okay. Boy. Albert in Tucson. Hey, Albert, welcome.
Good morning, Mama and Mook.
Good morning.
I have an idea about the Republican filibuster of Chuck Hagel's nomination. They filibustered him, and then they went on recess with an important NATO meeting coming next week. Well, I think Obama should make an appointment, a recess appointment on Chuck Hagel, and just to put a thumb in the eye of the Republicans, in particular Lindsey Graham and John McCain.
Hmm. I'm guessing he's, you know, that's the thing. He's not going to have to do that because he's going to be confirmed. That's why this is just such a show.
Yeah.
He's going to be confirmed. Okay. Gigi in Denver. Hi, Gigi.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I was wondering, I have been watching you since the election time, and I love you guys to death. I love you, love you, love
you.
But I was wondering if the American people have any type of the way the Republicans are filibustering and not helping President Obama get the country back on track. Is there anything in the Constitution that can force them to do their job instead of all this grandstanding and lying that they're doing?
No.
I don't think
the founding fathers foresaw, this level of obstructionism and, in addition, asshattery and douche nozzlery.
Yes.
Just saying. Carolyn in
I don't think they had the word asshattery back then.
No. And people just, they did not care about their freshness back then. There was no such thing.
No.
As douche
nozzles. There were no showers.
Or douche nozzlery. Carolyn in Sacramento. Hi, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell you, I listen to your show every day, but I was listening yesterday and one of the pro-gun callers was talking about, nobody gets outraged when someone dies as a result of malpractice. And
of course, which
A, not true, but
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, but see, the thing is, if somebody dies as a result of malpractice, you can sue the doctor.
Right.
You can sue the hospital. Mm-hmm. If a bartender serves booze to an obviously drunk person and that person goes and gets into an accident and someone is injured, you can sue the bartender.
Mm-hmm.
But you are not permitted because they slipped something in 2005. You are not allowed by law to sue a gun manufacturer.
Right. Even if it's a bad actor that, you know, who knows that he's selling to straw purchasers. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't know what it is about you this evening. Maybe it's the way the light hits your eyes. Maybe it's the wine. But you look puffy. You should go home and sleep.
Now
the Edgar Winter.
Yeah. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Wes in Nevada. Hey, Wes, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I tried to call you yesterday and wish you a happy Valentine's Day. Because I think you are intelligent, witty, and a beautiful woman. And if I was 40 years younger, I'd be chasing you around.
Awesome. Awesome
and
news.
And you'd be barking
at
the wrong tree.
Yeah. And you'd still be 40 years too late. All right.
I got a couple of quick points I want to make. First, when they start talking about us trying to, the Democrats trying to hurt the military, they need to go back and listen to Eisenhower back in 1959 talking about the military-industrial complex and how it hurts our country to have those people trying to run our foreign policy.
Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to say was the reason Rubio's thing on the TV there went so viral and everybody's watched it 1,000 times is because he acted like he was shoplifting the water from a convenience store.
He did. Yeah. I said it looked like Winona Ryder on the security cameras. Huh? A little deer in the headlights.
And
what?
Eisenhower, I'm talking about the military-industrial complex, was in part talking about how the CIA, against his wishes, sent up another U-2 flight just before he and Khrushchev were supposed to meet in Paris for peace talks. Mm-hmm. They could have derailed the Cold War decades before Glasnost and Perestroika, but the CIA screwed it up. And Francis Gary Powers was that final U-2 flight. Yeah.
Historical fun facts.
Yeah.
And the fact I learned from that last call, what? Largest percentage of people that want to date me and kiss me, really old, straight, drunk men.
Sure.
My life.
If he was 40 years younger, that would make him 90.
Greg writes, Steph.
If I was 40 years younger, I'd remember where I left my cheese.
Yeah.
I would have made sure you waited for me when I got back from the Peloponnesian War.
Oh.
Greg writes, Steph, the GOP Senate is waiting because they don't have all of Hagel's financial records. Isn't this the same set of GOP legislators that the majority said Mitt Romney's tax returns are none of our damn business?
Uh-huh. Yep.
We got a partial record for 2 years of Romney's taxes, and we're told to shut up. Now they want full disclosure? Thank you, Greg. You're the smartest phone call.
Well, you can see why the Republicans are upset by a hard left liberal commie. Oh, wait a minute. Chuck Hagel's a Republican.
Right. Right.
Interesting.
My dreamboat, David Schuster, wrote me this morning. You absolutely need to talk about Elizabeth Warren kicking ass and taking names at the Senate hearing on bank oversight.
Mm-hmm.
And he attached a story. He was going to come on and talk about it, but couldn't because...
He's getting married.
I'm getting married in the morning.
And seen on my Valentine's week.
Yeah. He says he'll talk to you after his honeymoon.
Nobody help me. I will call my own ambulance. Okay. All right. This story is awesome. Because, you know, I just got to meet her at the inauguration.
Right.
In which I said, hi. Or something that I say to people I'm really impressed with.
Yeah.
But there's a picture.
Some syllables you cobbled together.
Right.
Yeah.
Little popsicle sticks and gum.
Yeah.
Love you. Something. Anyway. All right. Warren rips deal with big banks. You have to listen to the description of this hearing. This is exactly what we knew we were getting with Elizabeth Warren. In first spotlight turn, scolds U.S. regulators for settling civil cases. She rebuked federal regulators for settling civil cases with big banks instead of taking them to trial. Looking at the seven regulators arrayed before the Senate Banking Committee, noting she had often sat at the same witness table. Before becoming a senator, she used her new power to question why the federal government has not been more aggressive. She said, the question I really want to ask is about how tough you are, but how much leverage you really have. Tell me a little bit about the last few times you've taken the big financial institutions on Wall Street all the way to trial. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Bueller? A handful of supporters in the packed hearing room burst into applause, but none of the witnesses offered a response. Anybody, Warren? Anybody?
Sounds like they're not doing their job.
Yeah. And then she probably did the Harvard professor, like, look over her glasses.
Yeah.
Anybody? Republicans had been expected to use the hearing to attack the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the government agency whose creation that Warren had championed. But the Republicans, without explanation, held back, in effect, clearing the path for Warren to take the spotlight.
Yep.
Because they're scared. Because she made their nutsack ascend.
Shunk.
That's Republicans around Elizabeth Warren.
I don't think that's entirely fair. I mean, this is shunk. Hey, what are you doing?
How do I get these back? How do I get these back down?
Where'd they go?
They're like the Who's in Whovilles. Republican nutsacks.
Right.
We are here. If a party is unwilling to go to trial, either because they're too timid or they lack resources, the consequence is they have a lot less leverage, she said. If banks can break the law and drag in billions in profits and turn around and settle paying out of those profits, they don't have that much incentive to follow the law. The regulators often sought to avoid directly answering Warren's questions regarding their prosecutions. The institutions I supervise, one of them said, we've actually had a fair amount of consent orders. We don't have to bring people to trial. I appreciate that you say you don't have to bring people to trial, Warren countered. My question is, when did you bring them to trial? Oh, shape is good! Okay, hang on. Back to the script. At another point, chairwoman of the Securities and Exchange Commission defended her agency, saying, we look at the distinction between what we can get if we go to trial and what we can get if we don't. Warren interrupted her. I appreciate that. That's what everybody does. The question I'm really asking, can you identify when you last took the Wall Street banks to trial?
Wow!
I want the truth!
It's not fair! You can't ask me those questions!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
All right. She said, I'll have to get back to you with specific information. I'll have to gather that information and
get it. Get back to ya.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to ya.
Shunk.
Shunk.
She made a woman's nutsack ascend, and that is hard to do.
Wow.
There are district attorneys and U.S. attorneys who are out there every day, she said, squeezing ordinary citizens on very thin grounds and taking them to trial in order to make an example. I'm really concerned that too big to fail has become too big for trial, and that just seems wrong to me. One witness says it was a breath of fresh air. It sends a message to the other senators. They have to step up their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rock them on.
I hope you got a standing ovation. That's allowed.
Rock on, Senator Warren. Okay. And then she dove into the mosh pit. Okay.
Well, we don't have to take people to trial. Why do we have to take people to trial? I don't understand.
Can we have our nutsacks back?
No.
Bruce in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question. I have a 38 Plymouth, and...
Wow. Where do you get parts?
I can sell... You know, when it was manufactured, where it was manufactured, what dealership it was sold to, and every single person that owned the vehicle until I got it.
Right.
Now, we're talking about these straw purchases for guns, and I know everybody's afraid of the federal government, but why are we talking about background checks? What about registering the gun?
Right.
I buy the gun from a dealer, I register it. Mm-hmm. If I buy 40 guns from the dealer and then some drug guy who isn't supposed to have it has the gun, I'm screwed unless I reported it stolen. If it was registered, like my old car.
Yep. I think the more important question is, where do you get parts for that sucker?
Well, you can get the parts.
On eBay.
Oh, there you go. But anyway, very good point. Sorry, we missed the really very good point you with that whole story. All right.
How does one keep a car like that from rusting in Maine?
So many
questions.
Yeah,
you keep it indoors.
Such a good point about gun control, and yet we're focused on having a 38.
And can you get that from here?
You can't get them from here in that car.
You can't get the parts from here.
Because I don't have the parts.
Janet in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Janet.
Hey,
Can't wait to see you guys in Chicago.
Yay! Woot!
Coming to Madison.
April 13th, road trip. All right.
What are we going to do? Road trip.
Okay. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about women on in frontline combat positions.
Uh-huh.
Women have been there for years, and they're not getting combat pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ask Tammy Duckworth if women have been in combat. That's right.
Exactly. My cousin was at the fall of Baghdad. She's a mechanic in the Air Force, and she had to go with her F-16s whenever they fly somewhere. She slept under the F-16s guarding them.
Wow.
If that's not frontline, yeah. I don't know what is.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that being said, not me. Other women with courage. I'm all for them serving. Not me. I'm a skeletty.
You could do the radio shows there.
Oh, that's right. I could do the Good Morning Vietnam character.
Yeah. The troops need fart jokes.
I'd have a snappy abadabad jingle and everything.
Abadabad.
Good morning.
W-Z-A-Z-N.
Yeah, abadabad.
Aziz. W-A-Z-I-Z.
Can you have it through my burka?
Abadabad.
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 I don't think they understand pukers over there. They're like, why is she talking like that?
Why does she have a cold?
Why
did they put her on the air if she has a cold?
Someone should get her a Kleenex.
Tissue. Something.
Debbie?
Well, yeah, hi, Debbie in Maryland. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, hi, honey. I have a virus, sorry. My voice is deep, but I can see you had a difficult Valentine's Day.
Yes, well, like most of them.
I want to be your official progressive lesbian mother.
Okay.
So that you can call me about the things that you cannot discuss with your 90-year-old Republican heterosexual mother.
Right. Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
I could see it was extremely difficult for you.
Yeah, there's certain details.
I had a virus myself on Valentine's Day.
Aw. All right. I'll call you with the stuff that will make my mother say, oh, dear. Oh, oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
I don't need those details.
Oh, dear.
Oh, heavens. All right. 45 minutes after
Not
the
stars.
Hour. Oh, dear.
She should be hanging out with Lindsey Graham.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Lover boy on the radio.
No. Karen in Downers Grove said no more listening while applying makeup. Just about blinding myself with mascara wand when you all went into the Republican nutsacks ascending while dealing with Elizabeth Warren. Oh, here they are. Coming back down.
Oh,
okay. Too funny. See, April 13th. April 13th. Texas April Chicago Theater. Oh, sorry. Hello. We are here.
And she was from Downers Grove.
Right.
Barbiturate Hinsdale. Barbiturate Forest.
That's right.
Don't be a downer.
What?
Okay. David in Asheville on Senator Warren. Hello, David.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
As you guys were talking about Senator Warren and what she's doing with now that she's on the banking committee, there's an interesting parallel in history. All Senator Warren wanted to do was be head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that she came up with. But because they hated her and feared her so much.
Right, now she has more
power.
Now she has more power. Okay, now, here's a parallel in history, since you guys have been using so many Yiddish words all morning.
Yeah.
You know, measure.
There you are there. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
What?
The
what?
Jewish people.
Oh, Yiddish. I thought you
Detroit.
Said... Sorry.
What?
Yiddish
sorry.
Is not Norwegian.
I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. Go ahead.
No, never.
I said Swedish.
No, Jewish people poured into Detroit right when Henry Ford got started, and all they wanted to do was go to work for $10 a week. But because Ford was so anti-Semitic, he wouldn't hire them.
Mm-hmm.
So they were forced to become doctors and lawyers and all right, and became millionaires when all they wanted to do was go to work for $10 a week.
Yep.
All Elizabeth Warren wanted to do was have the Consumer Protection Bureau. It's just a beautiful parallel.
There you go.
Yeah, Hitler actually had a portrait of Henry Ford in his apartment in Munich.
Oh.
Yeah. Hitler reference.
Special. There you go. I know. Wow, we're actually almost an hour and three.
An hour and 52 minutes into
You're
the show.
You're slipping, Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
All right. Wow. You know the Republican war on women? This may be another low. Did you see FreedomWorks made a fake sex video featuring Hillary Clinton and a panda? That's Republican humor for you. It's a Republican skit. It's Republican skit humor. Prominent conservative group FreedomWorks made a video that featured a person in a panda suit having sex with a fake Hillary Clinton. The plans to show the video at a conference were reportedly scrapped. I don't know, because somebody said, you know what, maybe this is inappropriate in
panda?
Some way. In some way.
Turkey? Turkey?
Huh? Two female interns played the parts in the video. A giant panda is on its knees with its head in the lap of a seated Hillary Clinton and apparently performing oral sex on the then Secretary of State.
What was the point of that exactly?
The group's staffers noted were outraged and stunned. How is that not some form of sexual harassment? One said One Freedom's official, noting the two female interns had been requested to act out a pretend sex scene and there were going to be thousands of Christian conservatives at this thing. This was a terrible lack of judgment.
Wow.
Do you think? There's our
on
other
so many levels.
There's our next Hitler reference, Springtime for Hitler Faces. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, is that a giant panda giving Hillary Clinton oral...
So, the only reason that was inappropriate was because there were going to be Christian people there?
Right, not because it would be disrespectful to,
to
the Secretary of State.
The office of the Secretary of State,
right.
Or even the woman holding the office.
Funny, though.
Mm-hmm. Who are these people?
All these people. Okay, let's go to Anthony in Vegas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. First, I got to say, that is kind of a little bit funny, you got to say. And it kind of reminds me of a South Park episode I saw a long time ago when it talked about Hillary Clinton having a snook. I don't know if you've ever seen the episode, but it's a little bit funny. You got to admit. Just a little bit. All right, anyways, I wanted to talk about gun
issues. Think somehow it had the layers of satire that South Park does. I think it was just,
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Andy.
All right, thanks. Anyways, well, talking about the gun issue, I just kind of want to put it in perspective that it's 97% of gun violence that happens, it's handguns, right?
I don't have that statistic in front of me, but yeah. I mean, obviously, handguns are a part of the problem as well.
And not only that, but it was Chicago that had, 500-plus murders with handguns, I believe, and all of that, and then the tragic story about the young girl who was murdered who attended Obama's inauguration. That was a very sad story. But the point that I'm getting at is that I think that we get too hung up over the issue of assault rifles. It becomes too of a partisan issue, and then neither side will never agree on anything.
Well, the point is having these huge magazines where you don't he doesn't stop to reload. That was the issue in Tucson.
It's part of the problem. You know, we talked today, Anthony, about the statistics about suicide and how much, astronomically more likely you are to successfully commit suicide if there's a gun, if you have access to a gun. So, it's just there's parts of the problem we have to talk. I mean, I'm a well-known gun grabber.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll come get them all.
I'm not.
Get it. Come to get your gun.
Annie.
Just trying to freak people out. Yeah. Okay. Paula, I'm too lazy. What are you kidding? There's 300 million of them. Really? I never leave my house. Really? I'm going anywhere? No. Paula in Gary, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paula.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You know what? I was so happy last year when I discovered Current TV and I didn't have to watch Jerk Joe and Meek Mika anymore in the mornings.
Thank you.
Oh, it was wonderful. But look. This LaPierre, the GOP, and right now I'm really ticked off with Harry Reid.
Uh-huh.
You know how occasionally you can help the ignorant, okay?
Right.
But you can't fix stupid. And you can put all of their brains in a bird, and the bird will fly backwards. I am just that ticked off with, and I'm talking about.
Are those Indiana expressions? They're charming. All right. They're still cracking you up. She's said them a million times. All right. Larry in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hi. Go ahead.
You know, there's one overarching issue that kind of touches on everything that's being said about all the various topics, and that is the subject of congressional reelection. Everybody, the job number one in the Congress is get reelected.
Right.
And the if we put term limits on, it can take away so much of the influence of these outside money and agencies and other things. We've given 6 or 8 years, one term, no campaigning when you're there. You do the job you were sent to Washington to do, and then you go home. And it's time to think about something like that.
Yep. Well, you know, I think that if their approval rating gets any lower, can we make the terms like, I don't know, like a week?
Yeah.
All right. You know what?
All right. You're done.
You're done.
You've done enough damage.
All right.
Get out.
That's it. Get out.
Stop it.
All right. This is hard. Get in the ring. All right. Get out of the ring. Now.
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring.
Uh-huh.
This is hard.
You know who's getting out of the ring? New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg will not seek re-election in 2014, paving the way for my new best friend, Cory Booker, to replace him. There's a picture of me, and I look... That's one where you can see how geeky I am in the picture. I'm just like this. It's on our Facebook page, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just me going... like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That was another Irma Gerd picture.
Irma Gerd! Cory Booker!
He announced he will not seek re-election. Cory Booker has already expressed interest in Lautenberg's seat, so just saying. He ran into a burning building and saved somebody.
Yeah.
You're Cory Booker. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Representative Greg Meeks and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Obviously the big State of the Union week.
Yes.
And the Marco Rubio moment. Waterloo. It was his Waterloo. Representative Greg Meeks from the great state of New York joins us now to talk about everything going on. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Stephanie.
What did you think of the State of the Union? I thought it was amazing.
Well, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought that the president was articulating what most every American, I mean, he was articulating what makes America great and what we need to do to continue on that path. And to be quite honest with you, I can't see how anyone, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, cannot agree with what the president was talking about. You're talking about making sure that every child has pre-K and immigration reform and, you know, build infrastructure and creating jobs. Isn't that what we're about?
Representative, but you're absolutely right. And as you know, you're backed up by the polling. When you say, like, you can't imagine why people aren't. People are for that. And yet here's our friend John Boehner, right, has already said, none of that's getting done. I mean, this is what you're up against time and time again, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's what has to be pointed out because, you know, people talk about the dysfunction in Washington, D.C., but if John Boehner would just allow the votes to hit the floor, which was the president was talking about, you know, let's have a vote. Let's have up and down votes on all of these issues. Because if they don't hold the votes hostage so that they can't hit the floor, they will get passed. Because it'd be hard for members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, not to vote for these issues. And that's why he tries to block them to keep them off the floor. But let's have a vote up and down. That would be the appropriate thing to do.
Representative, there's a great piece in the Daily Beast. I don't know if you saw it, Obama's 2024 strategy, but it reads, among other things, a lot of commentators are amusing themselves by pointing out that very few of Obama's long list of the State of the Union goals are likely to make it into law while he's in office. I say that seeing as how he's a pretty smart man, he knows this, but he's doing it anyway because he's thinking more about history than his story and because he understands that he wants to be a transformational president, the change he initiates is going to have to continue well past his time. And yes, great presidents have always thought this way. I mean, I think he truly is putting things out, not because he knows for sure, oh, yeah, can I get the assault ban or can I not? It's because it's the right thing to do. And that's what a president does. He leads, right?
Absolutely. And what happens is also what he does is by saying, you know, because it had been for so long and some folks are saying, get rid of government. Like government is no good. A government doesn't help people. But surely he's not going to get everything he wants this time. But to allow that mentality to stand when government has helped so many individuals and can continue to play a positive role. And that's why why generally in the past people have looked at our government in such high esteem. And it's only us that's saying get rid of government. And bad things have happened when we haven't had strong government.
Well, Representative Meeks, that's what everybody was saying. Is sort of the more unfortunate thing about Rubio's water drinking is it obscured the fact that he made such a contradictory case for how government is always bad. But here's how it's really helped me and my family.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right. So, and if government helped him and his family, shouldn't it allow to be help other families? You know, we should always be reaching down and trying to help somebody up, as opposed to saying, okay, I've got mine, and now I'm not going to let you climb up the same ladder. And that's what the president was talking about, how everybody can climb up the ladder. I could not have been here. I would not be a member of Congress today if it wasn't for education. I grew up in public housing in New York City. My parents were very poor, coming from rural South Carolina, moving up to New York, but fights from that time, the civil rights movement, changing the government making progress to give a hand up, making sure that I was able to have access to a decent and good education, is how I pulled up. I don't want that ladder to fall. That ladder should be extended to another group of individuals that can climb up on it.
This is what the president said recently, right? Like, people are not looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up.
And what the president talked about, even with, you know, increasing the minimum wage, here are individuals who are working full time every day of the week. And we're going to say that it's okay for them, the minimum wage not at least to be attached to inflation. You know, that's crazy. It should be, because it is difficult for individuals to make it. And it's those individuals and maybe one of their children who will have the next idea that's going to do something that is fantastic in this country. And they've got to be included. And that's what he's basically talking about.
Right. I mean, Congressman, when you talk about him, you mentioned he's talking about getting universal preschool. I know there was one brilliant educator was quoted literally as saying, holy smokes. I mean, that's how good the president's plan is. And you look at it, and, you know, I'm reading this Daily Beast piece, a universal or near universal preschool is a fact of life in most OECD countries, and someday will come to pass in this one. So, again, you know, the president's not looking at, you know, what can he score politically. It's what we should be doing as in this country, whether it gets done on his watch or not, right?
That is absolutely correct. It is what the country should be aiming for. We're supposed to be aiming for a higher high and to make sure that every child had access to pre-K. That's a great goal, and I don't see why somebody would be against that.
Well, and we hear the same rhetoric again about the minimum wage. Oh, it's going to hurt jobs. It's going to hurt, you know, and we have any amount of evidence and studies that say that's not the case, right?
Well, you know what? You've got to invest to create the jobs, and that's what the president was talking about also. There's a lot of investment in our country that has been lacking over the last 9, 10 years, last 12 years, actually, that we need to do in order to move forward. And that's what the president is talking about. It's going to create jobs. He talked about his whole infrastructure program. It creates jobs. He's talking about making sure that we are advanced in technology and innovation. So that creates jobs. But if you don't invest in those areas, you're not going to give the opportunity to create the jobs and have the individuals that are going to come up with the next inventions. And that's what he's talking about.
Representative, what did he say? So over, what is it, 700-something bridges are under standard in the United States of America. I mean, it's that stuff that you just think, again, compared to around the world, how substandard we are and then why that's okay with people, particularly if, like you said, it would create jobs.
Listen, I just came back, you know, sitting on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I just came back from China and Taiwan. And when you just look at the high-speed trains they have and the whole network that they have and then compare it to what we have here, which is antiquated, and we just redid our whole railroad system, how many jobs would that create? And it will bring us back to the state of art. We are trailing behind many individual countries in technological advances as a result of that.
Yes,
because we're not investing in it.
Right. And you know, as the president said, you know, to frame it in jobs, it'll how many companies that said they would come here if we had the infrastructure and all of that.
I just thought that the president was, as you said, thinking toward the future. He's leading, and I think that the polls show it. Over 65% of Americans agree with what the president's talked about, and we've just got to keep pressing the issue and shooting for those goals, and I believe that we'll accomplish them in the long run. May not be in his term. However, I also think that there's a possibility that Americans will see what's happening, and hopefully in 2 years, if the Republicans continue to be obstructionists and not passing anything, well, then maybe we do have a turnover and we'll have a change in the House and we'll get some of these things done in his term.
Yep, well, wouldn't that be something? Representative Gregory Meeks, always a pleasure from the great state of New York. Talk to you again real soon.
Like, look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Yay!
Awesome.
I'm trying to find the exact number of bridges that...
700 or something.
700,000? Isn't it?
Not, no, not that,
not that
many.
70?
About 700. Yeah.
700?
Yeah.
I thought that's what he said.
Which is still a lot.
Still a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had one collapse in
exactly.
Right, Minneapolis, right, exactly.
Yeah.
I just got a quote of this Daily Beast piece by Michael Tomasky, Obama's 2024 strategy. But it does make sense. You know when they keep saying, why would the president leave? I don't understand. What was that speech?
What did you just see?
Like, what
was that?
That was leadership.
Yes. What is not a waste of time is using your pulpit as a president of the United States to lay out a vision for the sort of society you'd like to see America become. Obviously, that's what he did. Obama knows that fighting climate change, getting universal preschool, doing something to help the working poor, big jobs, long jobs, are certainly not going to happen under the current legislative configuration. They're probably not going to happen while he's in office, but they're going to happen.
Look, Kennedy didn't walk on the moon, but he made it possible for other people
to.
Thank
you. That's the whole point of this piece. Even the knuckle draggers will realize at some point in the future, climate change is real and something must be done. I mentioned the thing about every other country has universal preschool or near universal preschool. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, these things will happen, and when they do, a grateful country will look back in time and recognize the president who was the first to take these issues seriously. This is confounding to the conventional political class. It's a misuse of political capital. To them, a politician is supposed to play it safe and profess as his goals only those things that are potentially attainable. That Obama didn't do that Tuesday night left them scratching their heads. Instead, his play is to inch us toward those goals however he can. He doesn't take a conventional view of political capital. The clearest evidence from the speech was that they deserve a vote riff. He's just asking for a vote. He knows if the vote is taken, his position may, and in the case of the assault weapons ban, almost certain to lose. But he's okay with that. It might lose this time, but three more massacres from now, it might not. He might not be the guy who's there to sign the bill, but he's okay with that, too. Great presidents have all thought this way, and conservatives have no trouble recognizing and celebrating the tendency when it was the president they liked. Ronald Reagan made unequivocal moral statements about the Soviet Union, as Obama has made about climate change. The USSR didn't collapse under his presidency, but when it did, conservatives wasted no time in crediting their hero. This is the credit Obama's going to get one day, too. If three or four of these things pass in the next 4 years, great, all the better. But if they pass in the 8 years after he's done, everyone will know who put them in motion. I have little doubt Obama will be happy to share the credit with the then-sitting president, whoever she may be.
That was funny.
Yay,
that was a great piece.
Oh, Hillary. We should post that. Michael Tomasky, The Daily Beast.
There's a magazine called Better Roads. They say that about 25% of America's 598,000 bridges are either structurally deficient or functionally obsolete.
America. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
But that would require Mitt Romney to pay his taxes.
All right.
That's not fair.
17 minutes after the hour, we will talk about the Carnival Poop Cruise passengers.
Oh,
they
had to go through some additional hell. What do you hear about this?
Wow. Oh, okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
No, let's go crazy. Let's go.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Dan in Reno. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you this
good
morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I work out at a gym here in Reno, and it just so happens that Sharon Engel works out there every day.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, God.
Did she trade chickens for her membership?
Well, that's why I'm calling you guys, you know, since she's now one of the poster childs for the stupid party with Aiken, Murdoch, and O'Donnell. I wanted to say something to her, and I figured there's no better place to find some good ideas than with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are better places to find good ideas.
No, we're not technically a think tank. We're more of
I'm pretty sure she didn't shoot a man just to watch him die.
No.
Okay, all right.
That's a completely
Reno's a lovely
rumor.
City.
Oh, by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to issue a correction.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes. Somebody was absolutely right, Jim. It is not 700 bridges.
I knew it was much more than that.
70,000
yep. Wow.
Bridges are under substandard. That was what the president said in his speech. So even more, America. Yeah. 70,000. Bridge is not up to code, huh?
Infrastructure.
Take
that's
that.
French and gay.
The Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error.
We indeed we do. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. Is that what they're calling it? The Carnival Poop Cruise?
Yeah.
Carnival Triumph Poop Cruise passengers reach land safely. Rescue bus breaks down. You know
no.
what? That's just a bad. I'm happy someone had a worse week than me.
Yeah.
Yes, if you were one of the passengers on the Carnival Triumph Poop Cruise, how could things possibly get worse? When passengers disembarked, they got a hug and a ride on a buses bound for Galveston, Texas, or New Orleans. Mm-hmm. One of those buses broke down.
Oh.
One described the smell on board the ship as a reminiscent of a hot porta potty.
Oh, God.
Yes, many said the worst part of all the ship's toilets were broken.
Pooping in a bag.
Right, you had to use red bags if you wanted to use the. Oh no! If you wanted to use the restroom, or if you wanted to redneck it, you had to use the sink.
If you wanted to redneck it,
yes, yes, that's
you poop in the
Brandon
sink
Dorsett
like in Bridesmaids,
like in Bridesmaids.
Oh,
get away from me!
Here's $500.
No.
You can smell the feces. The toilets don't flush, so you can smell the feces through every single hallway, said Veronica.
That's not in the brochure. I think.
No.
You can smell the feces.
I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
In the morning, in the evening. Hey,
we got to salute those fine Americans that made it off the Carnival Triumph Poop Cruise. Wow. Oh, Lord.
Yikes.
Heaven. Yep. I'm right. Yikes. All right. Hey, it's a bag of... Okay.
It's worse than a bag of vipers.
Yeah,
or
a bag of poo.
Or a bag of glass.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Never going on a cruise again.
All right.
But that's where you met your wife.
True.
That was better than a bag of poo.
Yeah.
The headline is Seattle barista fired over a bitter blog that rips customers and boss. A Seattle coffee shop fired a barista who started a blog about the daily tribulations of his job.
Mm.
I'm just thinking, how hard can it be to get a job as a barista in Seattle? Just go to the coffee house next door, or the one next to that, or the one next to that.
You're fired.
All right, I'll go next door.
You're fired.
All right, there's another one.
You're fired.
All right, there's one across the street. Listen, it's impossible to lose your job in a coffee shop. He was fired from All City Coffee for his anonymous two-week-old bitterbarista.com blog.
Oh.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
No.
One blog post read, if you remind me four times that you've ordered decaf, guess what you won't be getting?
Oh.
Another post
Snark
read,
much?
I would remember your usual drink if you were a more memorable person.
Oh. Okay, he sounds like an a-hole.
All
yeah.
Right.
I think he deserved to get fired.
Guess what? Michael Bloomberg announced yesterday those arrested in New York City for possessing small amounts of marijuana will marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah.
Marijuana cigarettes. Behind the dumpster.
Will no longer have to spend a night in jail. You will no longer have to be a loser townie guy.
Loser townie guy.
Great. Oh, my God. They're smoking marijuana cigarettes and getting baked. Okay. Hey, here's something else I don't know Michael Bloomberg might have been right about.
All right.
Coroner says Coca-Cola addiction responsible for woman's death.
Hmm.
Saying. Woman in New Zealand.
Well, if you drink 3 gallons of it a day,
she
maybe.
She died from a heart attack 3 years ago. Her family suspected the cause was linked to... She drank 2.5 gallons a day.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Oddly, she had a number of health problems, uh-huh. including cardiac arrhythmia, rotten teeth, and a full-blown Coca-Cola addiction.
Oof.
Just saying, he might be right. I understand the nanny state stuff, but I'm just saying he's right about the smoking. He's we have an obesity thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rich in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good.
I think the worst thing about the Carnival Cruise thing,
yes.
Those people had to go to Alabama.
Hey!
Hey, listen, one other thing. I want to talk about gun violence real quick. You know, in Chicago, there's black-on-black crime. If you listen to the right wing, you know, there's a lot of that talk. But my question is, and this pertains to Chuck Hagel, when is Republican-on-Republican crime going to stop in this country?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. That was a drive-by if ever I've seen one. Okay, Alan in Wisconsin. Hi, Alan. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, go ahead.
I just have a quick comment, and if I have time, a question. You guys had played the clip before with Boehner talking about how the sequester was the president's idea, and he insisted upon. Since when do Boehner or any of the Republicans ever listen to what Obama said?
Yeah, right.
It just
if it was his idea, you know they would have been against it.
Exactly. And if it was their idea, they'd be touting it. Anything Obama's for, they're against. That was my comment. I have a quick question. I have to change the subject. But yesterday in Illinois, the Illinois Senate passed
gay marriage equality. Yeah, marriage equality.
Yeah, so it goes to the House now, and the same thing is happening in Rhode Island. So I think they'll be the 10th and 11th or 12th states. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen at the Supreme Court this summer?
I actually talked to, I met someone who was a Harvard educated lawyer this week, and the more lawyers I talk to, the more they seem really confident that, that marriage equality is going to pass.
Yeah, it just goes back to what you guys were saying before about the president wanting to do the right thing and leave the legacy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, absolutely. Well, and John Roberts, right. I mean, I just think that they don't want to be on, as we keep saying, the wrong side of history. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Yeah, we have to talk about that. That's actually big. It's huge.
Yep. Huge.
Not just France this week, Illinois, marriage equality. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who wants my hot black box of coffee?
Oh, boy. It is the...
What?
The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Richard in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie, and thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Stephanie, I know I'm limited for time. I just want to say that I'm against gun control. I'm a gun owner.
Of any kind?
Well, no, but that's the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
If you told me, Stephanie, and I'm not speaking for anyone myself, but I know the feelings of many other people. If you told me that I should not have an automatic weapon, no problem. And I think 90% of the people...
So you are for gun control. See? We're already magically in agreement.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is it's a trust issue. No one really believes that it's going to stop there. Most gun owners know that that's not where it's going to stop.
Richard,
you
know politically, there's very little chance we're even going to get an assault weapons ban. So, you know, that's ridiculous, the slippery slope argument. They're not
guns,
even going to get to that, let alone getting to what are you saying? They're going to ban all guns if we ban assault weapons?
Well, let me tell you why I think that.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of this other radio show called Kilmeade and Friends. I don't know if he's a Republican or Democrat.
Brian Kilmeade, yes.
Brian
Kilmeade, that's very Republican, yes.
And his friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
All right. Well, that's odd because
he's from Fox News.
I called in his show, and he's against guns. Okay, he's anti-gun.
He is not anti-gun.
In what way?
Well, judging by my comment, I basically told him that as far as the assault weapon ban, I said, it's not going to do, or here's what it's going to lead to. You're telling me that if I agree that, okay, we can ban this weapon, it carries a 20-round magazine, but it's okay to carry a 10-round magazine. How long will it be before someone with a 10-round magazine goes and does something?
Well, that doesn't make him anti-gun.
That's not the point.
No,
you know, Richard, people are looking for things that would help. And it would help if somebody had to reload in a lot of these massacres.
Right, that's how...
These massacres are worse and worse because people have higher and higher clip capacity.
That's how they stopped the shooter in Tucson after he'd done a lot of damage. But
why are hunters okay with regulations that you can only have three, you know, plugs in your shotgun when you're shooting ducks? Why is that okay?
That's what I'm saying, Stephanie. I think that 90% of the gun owners out there, the hunters, the people, you go to a range in Pennsylvania, you can only load three rounds at a time on a target range.
I'm not sure what we're arguing about because I think we agree, so I'm not sure what you're saying.
So I have no problem with that.
Right.
My fear, I'm only speaking for myself on this,
right,
I guess, but my fear is that it is a slippery slope, and that's based on the logic of the argument. I could take, if I'm going to do something evil, Stephanie, I could take four magazines with 10 rounds in them,
right,
and I could change that magazine.
You would have to reload. That's when Jared Loughner got stopped.
Yes, yes. Because when he was reloading.
Right.
And that's why more people weren't killed in Tucson.
I called that liberal Brian Kilmeade's radio show.
He's far from liberal.
He's a dove.
He's a...
What?
He's anti-gun because he doesn't think every single one of us should be armed to the teeth with every automatic weapon possible.
What a socialist that Brian Kilmeade. All right. Mike in Chicago. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just, I'm going over the president's speech, and I was just reading through it, and he's talking about, 70,000 bridges need to be fixed. That's going to create all...
Now I'm wrong. Yeah, 70,000. Yes.
Yes. And I'm just curious, other than union jobs, what jobs are these going to create?
It's going to
help that a bridge doesn't fall on your head. How about that?
Yeah, rebuild our infrastructure.
I thought that's why we passed the $800 billion stimulus plan to fix that.
That doesn't all go for bridge infrastructure. Yeah. There are 70,000 bridges that are not up to code. Where is the downside in fixing the bridges and creating American jobs? What's the downside?
Because less than 7% of the workers in this country are union, which means if you get to a right to work...
What do unions have to do with it?
Why does this always have to do with unions are bad? What is wrong? What is okay about 70,000 bridges in America being under standard? Have you talked to anybody in Minneapolis where the bridge collapsed?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with fixing the bridges. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying...
As long as we don't use any union workers.
No workers, because... Everywhere you go, you have to be a union steel worker, union cement worker, union asphalt worker.
Not everywhere you go.
Union builder.
Arizona's a right-to-work state. You don't have to be a member of a union there.
And then what are they going to pay those workers? $10 an hour to work there, because they're all going to be laborers. I mean, if you don't know how to build a bridge, you can't just go, I want to build a bridge.
So there's something wrong with being properly trained and in a union that protects your rights?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're not going to create the amount of jobs that you need to create.
So
you
shouldn't try.
If I'm a bridge repair guy, right. I'm not going to go hire 50 guys because I got a job. I'm going to maybe hire one or two because I've already got a crew of guys that aren't working. They need the work. So
what
you're
is the downside to rebuilding
our
bridges?
What's your solution? Don't do anything. Let the bridges stay substandard until they fall?
And kill more people?
No, I'm not saying. All I'm doing
not
is
saying
criticize.
That. I'm not arguing with
I'm
you.
Not arguing
I'm not
with
arguing
that.
With you. I'm not saying that.
I'm not arguing with you on that.
He couldn't point to a downside.
I'm not
going to
argue with you on that.
I just
that.
Gave up. Sometimes I don't necessarily win or lose arguments. I just give up.
I just don't get his point. What is he saying? That we shouldn't have any union workers? Or we should have bridges?
I couldn't get to the point, and that was the problem. Right. So we just shouldn't try.
And $10 an hour is suggested minimum wage. If you're building a bridge, you're probably going to be earning more than that.
Right.
I mean, it requires some expertise to build a bridge to code.
Right.
By the way, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I'm not arguing with you about that, Jim.
I'm not arguing with you about that. I'm not arguing with you about that.
Most memorable part of Joe.
Have you ever been in an argument like that?
Oh, God, yes.
Significant other or whatever, and then you're just like, what are we even arguing? I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Way too many times.
At some point, you're like, please argue with me about that, because I don't even know what we're talking about. Are we agreeing? Okay. Dave in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Yeah, Stephanie. Hello. Just want to make a comment about the way these contractors bid on these infrastructure jobs. Most of the Bay Bridge, the cattle lever section up here in San Francisco Bay, most of it was assembled in China and brought over here on barges and stuff and reassembled by structural engineers. But by the time they got finished playing politics with that bridge, it took them 10 and a half years or longer to put that bridge back together after the Loma Prieta earthquake, if you remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a big political Chinese checker game they're playing with these bridges and infrastructure and the money and everything like this.
Yeah,
and until we can figure out...
Well, that's got to be fixed for sure.
Until we can figure out how to stop the political games with all these contractors and lobbyists, we're not going to fix this problem in this country. That's the biggest problem. The other comment I want to make is you mentioned term limits earlier. Well, we have term limits in California, and it's not working in California. The term limits aren't working because most of those politicians that get elected move into other positions in Sacramento and stay in office in one way or another. That's what I wanted to bring up also. Thank you.
Yep, I hear you.
Thank you.
I had a neighbor who was into construction, and he said as soon as it started bringing Chinese-made parts and screws and whatnot, everything was just substandard. The screws got stripped much more easily, and it's really ruined the whole the whole business.
I hate when your screw gets stripped.
Then you're screwed.
I know. Literally. Exactly. All right, Ryan in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I'm not going to argue. No, I'm just joking.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm not arguing about you not arguing. Okay.
The point that guy may have been trying to make is that these are temporary jobs, and it's not building the infrastructure to small business.
Right. We should just let them fall.
80% of our nation.
Right.
So I was in two of them, and this isn't even why I was calling, but I was in two of those jobs that actually resulted in less people employed. And they were rebuilding sewer treatment plants that had about 7 or 8 employees.
Uh-huh.
But after they were updated, it went to 1 employee because the update made them more efficient.
Okay.
So I think the point that he may have been making is you want to have more of an emphasis on small business instead of local government, because that's going to be a longer standing.
So we shouldn't update our sewer systems. We shouldn't update our bridges. We shouldn't make them more structurally sound. We should just let them crumble.
No, we definitely should, and it's a great...
That's what we're doing.
I don't get the argument that it's a temporary job. Of course it is. At some point, you're done fixing the bridge.
Right.
I mean, I don't...
Yeah, but the point being is that there's been some pseudo-packages for the Small Business Association, which represent very, very, very small numbers, like $4,500 loans for the Small Business Association, which... You can't even get a vehicle, never mind another employee for a small business with a $4,500 loan. But there's been $800 billion in stimulus, and it's kind of reversed. But anyway, I was just elaborating on his point. What I wanted to talk about, and I'm sorry I run out of time, was the lack of truth in any of the debates. I mean, as a gun owner, I would feel much more comfortable if it was just truthful. I've looked up the statistics myself. 87% are with small handguns. 3% are with assault weapons. Why are they chasing assault weapons?
Because they do more damage. And all of these massacres that have just happened. I mean, 26 people, including, 26-year-olds, that's a lot of carnage, in one. I mean, that's why. In every single one of these, Aurora Virginia Tech, right, Newtown, wherever. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. I am arguing with you about that. I am. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In a perfect world, there would be no right-wing talk radio. Until then, there's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. Dispensing with personal business during the commercial breaks. All right. 50 minutes after the hour. So that happened. 1-800-12 the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Illinois Senate approves gay marriage. The Democratic-led Senate delivered a Valentine's Day victory yesterday to gay and lesbian couples. Gay marriage now goes to the House, where the fight is expected to be tougher. Governor Pat Quinn expected to sign the bill if it gets to his desk.
I hope it passes the House.
And fortunately, I have a future husband in this stack, Senator Willie Delgado, Democrat of Chicago.
And he's with?
He's a Democrat of Chicago.
Okay.
He called for an end to prejudice against gay and lesbian couples, saying all citizens are the same in the Lord's eyes.
Aww.
He said he was having flashbacks to the movie Lincoln, which focuses on the 16th president's efforts to issue the Emancipation Proclamation
Easy
and abolish slavery.
Emancipation Proclamation?
I could have never said that back then because I would have been drunk. John Boner can't say it.
That's crazy.
Emancipation prosecutor for the arts. Screw it.
He said, for the love of God, I feel like I'm sitting in 1865 where similar debates were created on why slavery should continue in our country. This is the time. This is the place. This is the moment. We are one people. Good for him.
Why don't you go out and gay marry him?
I think I will.
All right.
Chubby Checker is suing. A 71-year-old music legend has filed a suit against Hewlett-Packard and Palm, claiming they violated the trademark on his name, Chubby Checker, by releasing the Chubby Checker app, which enables women to estimate the size of a man's penis
based on his
shoe size.
Oh my God.
You can't have Chubby Checker app.
It's a Chubby Checker. Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
Is that true, the shoe size thing?
No.
I've always been told nail bed.
Really?
The size of your nail bed is a good indication.
Nail bed?
Really?
Yep.
So you don't need a
bed
checker?
Of nails?
No, you're where your fingernail is attached to your finger.
The size of your nail bed.
So you should know I'm a single elderly shut-in loser that is having a horrible Valentine's Day week. And so, you know, I read the story on Celebrity Assistance.
Yes.
And now I make T-Bone come and spoon with me every night.
You did last night.
Yep. I don't remember.
He'll never be the same.
I was
drunk.
Right, but he says he did, so I'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
That's all I took from the story. That's a good idea. From being forced to sleep in their bed with them, holding their hand, and being on call 24/7 for meaningless demands. That's you.
That's me.
Babysitters of the rich and famous have revealed all the horrors they've dealt with, working for clients like Lady Gaga and Naomi Campbell. Well, Naomi Campbell, you're just a dummy if you take that job. Rebecca White claims she was forced to work 24/7 and required to sleep in Gaga's bed because she does not like to sleep alone.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I sometimes force my dogs, and they get hot. They're like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they hate it in the summer.
Can we go now? Before Gaga, White worked for Naomi Campbell. Well, anything is a step up from there. Where her duties included arriving to hotels ahead of the supermodel to make sure everything was perfect, calling housekeeping to unpack, steam, press the clothes, take out the contents of the minibar, and putting 25 lily-scented candles around the suite in specific spots.
Really?
Well, you know when you've gotten my entrance wrong before. God forbid they weren't the luxury brand.
One thing straight, right. And we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet.
Uh-huh.
If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
And that was before we were even on TV, so I was just being a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
There was really no reason
No. No reason for lights.
Mm-hmm. She said there always had to be 5 candles in the bathroom, 10 in the bedroom, 10 in the living room. She wanted to pretend to the outside world that she wasn't drinking. Oh, I need to take T-Bone on the road to do that for me, too.
Yeah.
Every hotel we set foot in, I would move the bottles so that anyone, a manager or maid, could say she doesn't drink. Then Campbell would grab her 2 phones, weapons,
sure.
Grab me and go into my room and start drinking. I don't care if people... Okay. In another outrageous incident, an A-list actor called his assistant at 4 a.m. From across the world because there was not enough toilet paper in his bathroom. He was... See, another button, you would just get the front desk, and then you could tell them that.
Right.
He was 5 hours ahead in London. He was asking her to call the hotel because his bathroom was running out of toilet paper. That is spectacular.
Could have a bathroom running out of plastic
bags.
See, and
actually, instead of dialing the assistant, it would just been one number, front desk, for housekeekeeping, toilet paper.
That's all you have to do.
Okay. Hi, help me. I'm on a Carnival cruise. Can you please get me...
Oh, God.
Ron in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I think you ought to be nominated for some type of saint for your patience in dealing with these right-wing gumbos.
Thank you. I think we have a lot of NRA moles calling this morning, I believe.
In fact, Tom from Columbus.
Well, you know what? I used to own a gun, and I enjoyed firing. I like going to the range, and I'll still go to the range once in a while if I have a chance. But this garbage about they can't put up with any type of laws and slippery slope, they're coming to take the guns. I can't believe. I mean, I know there's been a dumbing down of America for 30 years. But
we speak for I speak for all of us when I say herp
term.
Right. Right.
So I think, and you try to reason with him, but I got to tell you, a moron, when he says 4 + 4 = 5, you will not convince him that it is actually 8.
That's right. All right. Yes, I'm not sure what it sounds like when they call T-Bone.
Hello, I am a pain troll. I'm calling from under a bridge. Can you put me through immediately?
Yeah, Tommy from Columbus says, idiot troll alert. What about the handguns? Watch out for the straw man with the red herring.
Yeah.
Mike in Studio City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steph. Love you.
Thank you, baby.
The slippery slope thing, I just can't take listening to it anymore. We are already on a slippery slope to mass violence. Mm-hmm. It's just disgusting.
Yep, absolutely. Nick in L.A. is a union worker. Hello, Nick. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, about these guys who are sitting talking about the infrastructure, now we're going to do this, now we're going to pay for that. Well, it's going to pay for itself, because when you put people to work, they spend money, and when money starts to circulate, people start making money, and that goes all the way down to the guy that makes the coffee for you in the morning.
There you go. And guess what? You know, yes, it's a temporary job. When you're done fixing one bridge, you go fix another one.
Yes. Like, all construction jobs are temporary.
Idiot alert. $10 an hour for workers on roads?
Unless you are some of the workers I've hired, and then it takes forever, and it's never, ever done.
That's why you should use Angie's List.
Right? Exactly. That's how I've changed my tune. John in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I used to work in a coal mine up in Pennsylvania, and we were union, United Mine Workers. Mm-hmm. And this guy calling about we're going to have to hire somebody and pay him $10 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have negotiations between the company and the union, and they decide what they should pay, what they should get as benefits. I mean, come on. This guy was totally an idiot.
Yeah.
Never heard of John Lewis.
All right. I speak for all my union peeps when I say, you are an idiot, sir. Have a nice weekend, though. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.